Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back to FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. And a reminder, the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app waiting for you. If you're an Android user like I am, you can go check it out at the Google Play Store. Or if you're on that iPhone thing that's so popular with the kids out there, just go to the App Store, iTunes, and look for FMTALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. You'll see our logo, download that, and it is a... waiting for you and ready to go. The app right there, free. And you can one button call the station. You can text the station. Use the talkback feature to leave us a message. But also, of course, the streaming that's there anytime. And the podcast, 55 hours a week of live local programming from FM Talk 106.5, available in podcast form right there on the app. That's the tip of the iceberg. So check out the app today and let us know what you think. All right, you know, and I was in a conversation with Dale Leash from Lanyap in the first half of this hour about the Mobile municipal elections coming up August 24th. And you've got mayoral and city council. And we mentioned District 2. And how I call it busy, it seems to me, obviously throughout the districts, it's very busy, but two stands out to me. And Mark Minert is joining us. He is running in District 2, and we'll get to know him right now. Hey, thanks for being here.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
So this is a seat, and some of the seats that where somebody's stepping down, like in a six or something like that, I get it, but in two, you have Councilman Manzi is running as the incumbent, but you and quite a few others are challenging him here. What drove you to that? Was it something you always wanted to do, to run for District 2, or what happened?
You know, Sean, over the past few years, it just feels like downtown and the historic districts have just been somewhat neglected. And, you know, we have tried time and time again to get some simple things addressed, and they just haven't been. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I'm just tired of seeing a lot of short-sighted decisions that come out of city council, and it was just time for me to try to make a change.
Okay, so like a short-sighted decision that they've made, give us an example. What would be one of those?
Well, you know, a prime example is something that we're debating online right now is for the residents downtown. You have the business areas have things like street sweepers, litter maintenance, those things. But in the residential areas, there's nobody that addresses that. So there are large residential areas. I can tell you right now, the last time my street was swept was in October 2019.
Wow. Okay.
Right. And the reason I know the specific date is the only time the street gets swept is whenever there's the witch's ride through downtown. That I could live with. You know, I don't need to have my street swept. I can clean my own street. Except for there are areas where you'll have a business section on one side of the street and a residential section on the other side of the street, and they will literally sweep the trash and debris from one side of the street in the business district to the other side of the street in the residential district and then leave.
So wait, so the sweeper comes down, we got to picture this street being split in half with people going one way, people going the other, and they come down one side and sweep all that stuff over to the other side and then don't come back?
Right, they only sweep half the street. They sweep the business side and push it to the residential side and then leave.
Y'all, what you're describing right here, this is true city council politics. I'll give you a commendation on that. This is, you know, often I'll have people come in and talk to me about things that aren't to the core, to the quick of city council politics. But that, Mark, is the right kind of subject to talk about. That's because that's the kind of stuff that leaves people scratching their heads, standing in their front yards.
Exactly. And then there are other issues. You know, of course, annexation, it was talked about widely 2 years ago. You know, at the start of this campaign, it was a hotly debated topic, but I think that has kind of fallen by the news cycle. But that was another example. This was an opportunity for the city to really increase its revenues, to increase its budget so that we could have more money to address both police and things like homelessness, fire protection, and animal control. And it was voted down for what I believe to be largely political reasons.
Yeah, let's get into that. And to remind folks who haven't followed our discussion, once again, the council was just voting on the right of referendum. They weren't voting to annex in. They were voting to let these people vote to come in. That was blocked. And one of the excuses, and I agree with you that it was for political reasons, but one of the excuses was given is we can't annex in new parts of the city until we take care of the city we have. What's your response to that argument?
So these are areas right now are areas that we're largely taking care of, and they actually require less maintenance. These are newer areas that have been developed with modern construction methods, modern construction of the streets, sidewalks. So there is actually a net gain in the tax revenue. So the argument that I've heard is we've got to develop the city from within. We can't look to expand out. But essentially what we would be doing here is erasing this imaginary line on a map and moving it to where most people think the line already is, which is the Schillinger Road. So it's not really going to cost us much. We get up the additional tax revenue, and that'll help us develop those the inner areas, your Africatown, your campground, and other areas where we're trying to fund some redevelopment. So I don't see how this prevents that. I don't see how moving this imaginary line prevents us from further development of our inner city.
Yeah, because I mean, I've seen some of the stats that rolled out during the annexation debate that even without, and I know you'll probably want to bring in the discussions of what it would mean to be seen as a bigger city. I mean, you know, to have the numbers and what it means for grant money. But I it was a net gain even without that, right? That there was those areas that if they did vote to be annexed in would bring in more money than they cost. Is that a fair assessment?
Exactly. And, you know, the numbers I've looked at have said, anywhere from $2.2 million a year in a sales tax. After 5 years, you're talking about $1.5 million in property tax, ancillary taxes, federal grants, state grants that are based off of total population. So there's a lot of costs that are coming out of that. And, you know, the annexation isn't the only thing. We have to think of the city's budget as basically a big pie. I always use pie graphs whenever I'm discussing budget because you got to take it from somewhere to pay for something else. So if we, you know, there's a lot of people who complain, especially in District 2, about like speeding and sidewalk issues. Well, we don't have enough money to fund both projects. We don't have enough money to fund both the police and, you know, infrastructure. So we need to make that pie bigger so that there is enough money. And that's going to come from additional revenue. Some of that's going to come from annexation. Some of that needs to come from increased tourism. There are going to be a lot of factors. But we do need to realize that we have to adequately fund our city, especially if there's an economic downturn, which it looks like there's probably going to be some type of event happen in the next year, year and a half, 2 years. We already have interest rates are going to go up. There's already cost of living indexes are going up. I think Social Security is doing about a 5.1% living index. So we need to prepare for that. And I just don't feel like we've taken those steps to adequately prepare for what happens when there's the next economic downturn.
And what about the individual money in, you know, in the different districts? So CIP money, do you think it should be allocated evenly between all the districts, or do you think you should have it moved to which district needs the, you know, like the sea change kind of project in a given fiscal year?
So I do believe that the older areas need more maintenance. I don't think that we're going to be able to get the city council to all agree to do that. So I really don't think it's plausible, although I do believe that that is something I would like to see.
Hey, I've got, if just joining us, talking to Mark Minert. He's a local realtor running for Mobile City Council District 2. Question on the text line here. My understanding is the property tax increase is delayed if those areas annex in.
Yeah, so we can't We can't start collecting the property taxes in those areas for 5 years. So that's why I said after 5 years, we'll get about $1.5 million in property tax. So if you look at the annexation map, it looks like this gerrymandered map. And that makes sense. So the areas they went after were primarily the commercial areas. And just we're talking about, we want to make sure that if we do an annexation, that it has a net positive return, meaning that we're automatically paying more or receiving more income than we're putting out. Otherwise,
all right.
So that's why we kind of went around, you know, you look at those areas, they're kind of designed around the commercial areas, so we can go ahead and start collecting those sales taxes. And then after we've collected those for a few years, once the property taxes come in, then you can start to annex more area because, again, we're still trying to maintain that net positive return. So that's yes, they're right that we cannot accept the property taxes on it for 5 years, which is kind of the theory behind the gerrymandering lines.
Very good. People want to get more information about your campaign. Where do they go?
So my website is markformobile.com, or you can email me at markformobile@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. So, again, either look for Mark Minnert, that's M-I-N-N-A-E-R-T, or look for Mark for Mobile, F-O-R, Mobile. And you'll find me. I've got a lot of information out there, and I'm anxious to speak to anybody that has any questions.
Hey, I appreciate your time with us today. Thank you very much, and best of luck out there.
Hey, thanks, Sean. It was a pleasure to be here, and hope to be back on again.
All right, very good. Mark Minnert, our guest, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile right here at FM Talk 106.5.